is Tropical mit Dancing Anymore auf Flux FM am Mittwochnachmittag. Die Band aus London, die ja mittlerweile zum Quartett herangewachsen ist, spielt heute Abend im schönen Privatclub und stellt dort schon Stücke der neuen LP Black Anything vor, deren erster Teil just erschienen ist. Das Besondere an der neuen Platte, die Band hat die Scheibe auf 5 verschiedenen Kontinenten aufgenommen und sich dazu entschlossen, die Ergebnisse ihrer Sessions auf 5 10 Inches über das Jahr verteilt zu veröffentlichen. Wo man sich am wohlsten fühlte, wie es war zum zweiten Mal mit Luke Smith zu arbeiten, den man ja auch als Produzenten von Depeche Mode, Folds oder Everything Everything kennt und vieles mehr, klären wir jetzt mit Simon Milner und Gary Barber. Hier sind 2 von 4 Herrschaften von Is Tropical. Hello and welcome.
Hello, how are you doing?
Totally fine. Fine, how are you?
Awesome.
I'm surprised Simon's awake today.
Yeah.
I had to physically lift him into his bed last night.
Oh, so the Prague show has ended in kind of a party or something?
Yeah, I think I flew here.
In the bus, though. I flew here in the bus.
Yeah,
can you imagine? But Prague is a good city to play shows at, right?
Yeah, and especially for a Tuesday night, you know. You don't always expect the most from a midweek show, but yeah, it was great.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, congratulations on LP3, Black Anything, an album that has been recorded with producer Luke Smith again. And it has been recorded, that's the more interesting thing, on 5 different continents. Now, I know that your band has always liked traveling. That's actually the whole reason why the band was formed, right?
Yeah. And like we were writing all of the songs when we were traveling.
Yeah.
So then we were like, oh, why then go to like a dark basement in London to record it? So we might as well record it while we're away.
Yeah. How hard was it to convince the record company and other partners in crime to do it that way? Because it's not it's pretty complicated, right? You have to find places to go to, and
they love it, but it's a logistical nightmare. Like getting all the equipment in places and then, you know, just making the schedule work for everyone involved. But at the same time, I think it captures something that you can't get in, you know, a kind of stale studio environment.
Yeah.
But we're working with Graham from Crystal Fighters.
Okay.
He is the head of the record label that he set up.
Okay.
And so he's all about traveling and meeting new people and collaborations, and that's his whole ethos and the whole label ethos. So it suits us perfectly.
Cool, cool, cool. And I've read that, let's start like that. Black Anything Part 1 is out already.
Yeah.
That one has been released and there's 2 songs on there. Those are the New York sessions, right? That you've put out already.
Yeah, so we helped the label build a studio and then Luke flew over, but we didn't finish it in time. So we were like recording in subway stations and stuff and Central Park and a little bit around Graham's house.
Yeah.
Turned his house into a recording studio. But we needed to finish the studio. So we were just like building a studio in nighttime and recording in the day. So it was like...
But I've read some of the recordings haven't even been done in the studio, but on the street.
Yeah, that's
why was that? You go there, build a studio, and then record stuff on the street?
Yeah.
What's the logic behind that, people?
Because studios can be really dead sounding.
Yeah.
And then when you record, it's just like, like it's got no vibe. But when we wanted real reverbs as well, not like plugins.
Uh-huh.
So, like they've got bridges in Central Park and they've got amazing reverbs. So you'll just be singing in the street. But like, so that's why on my way, you can hear people talking in the background and birds and.
Oh, that's so cool.
And especially like when we're in Mexico as well, like, cause we did a little bit of the North American release in Mexico when we were playing out there. And we're just like, Simon was off and we've got these little recorders that we take around everywhere with us. And he was on the subway in Mexico City and there's like a turnstile going,
uh-huh.
Like on a really weird sound, so it created this like amazing rhythm. And then like even if you don't actually necessarily end up using that recording, you use the rhythm of something that you've had.
True.
So like it can be really influential on stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily use.
It's like the record that's almost been based on field recordings or something right?
Yeah. And it was quite hard. Like when we did a recording for the second part in Spain, we brought Luke's modular synth and it's like worth 80 grand or something.
Uh-huh.
And we're trying to get an EasyJet flight. And we're like, no, put it in hold. And he's like, no, you're not putting that in the hold. Like, you have to buy a seat for that.
Yeah. So the synthesizer was worth more than the plane, actually.
Yeah.
Right?
And worth a lot more than our lives as well.
No, we can't fly with that thing. It's too expensive. What's the idea behind putting out 5 10 inches rather than 1 LP with all the songs on there?
So like when you record an album, sometimes like, and then some labels be like, oh, okay, these 2 are the singles.
Yeah.
But we never really wanted to have an album where these 2 are the singles.
Yeah.
And so we just wanted every track to be able to get listened to. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes if you make the wrong choice, and then there might be a song that everybody likes on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think personally for me, it's like the songs that I preferred from our previous records weren't the ones that were selected as singles.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a little bit disheartening when you've got this really great track, but it is an album track. You haven't written, it's maybe 7.5 minutes long. It doesn't fit the radio formula or anything like that. So
it's like you got to take the power back. That's the machine style, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And we decide, well, how are we going to put out that music?
Yeah, you always hear people from labels and stuff and managers being like, oh, I really like this song, but this is a single.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is a single because it's 3 minutes 30, there's two choruses and then an end chorus. And you're like, well, you prefer that one. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's got no chorus. And it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people are way too scared, especially people at labels, because of the downfall of the industry. I can understand that it's hard to
go
for risks as a record company executive, but I think they're too scared to do something new now, and that's what I really like about your project, because you've just decided to try something else, you know? Yeah.
We kind of don't, and it sounds bad, not in a really flippant way, but we just don't really care what people think. It's better to do something that you're really proud of.
Yeah.
And we come from like an artistic background.
Yeah.
And the whole
2.5 years in art school.
Yeah.
but I really think, I think one really bright person just once said, it's better to fail with your own shit than to fail with some compromise.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, if you fall on your face with that compromise, it's not even your shit.
Exactly.
That was responsible for that.
That's so definitely a true man speaking.
Now, before we talk a bit more, let's listen to a new single, a single that's on part one of Black Anything. This is the song called Crawl. Is Tropical of Flux FM. It's Kirsty Fleck on the vocals. Ist Tropical und die neue starke Nummer Crawl nachzuhören auf dem ersten Teil der Black Anything LP, der im Dezember schon erschienen ist, mit zwei Stücken drauf. Und genauso wird auch der Rest der LP veröffentlicht werden. Immer zwei Stücke, immer auf einer 10-Inch und jede 10-Inch steht für einen Kontinent. Die erste ist in New York aufgenommen worden. Das heißt, wir haben gerade eine North America, von der North America 10-Inch ein Stückchen gehört. This was the first 10-Inch. That's been built around the songs that you've recorded in New York City, right?
Yeah.
What's the second? Where's the second?
Europe was the second installment.
We recorded mostly in Murcia in Spain.
Okay.
We had a festival we were doing down there, and the weather's amazing down there. So we just rented out a villa on an Airbnb in the middle of a lemon field.
Oh.
And just set up drums outside and next to the pool.
Cool.
there's amazing like slapback off the barbecue buildings and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, we're just walking around, clapping, finding the best reverbs and the best bass tracks.
I mean, we've talked about the fact that it's been pretty hard to organize stuff like that, but how hard was it really to find those places? Because people always talk about the fact that the vibe is important within a band, you know? People have to get along with each other, otherwise this music sounds shitty, maybe. Yeah. And I think you shouldn't underestimate the vibe of a place as well. So,
and there's also
did you actually go somewhere and you'd be like, looked good, but it sounds shitty. I don't want to record anything here.
We spent a lot of time on the internet looking and researching, because financially it's probably better to do it before you go and realize you've made a mistake. But Simon was like, oh, I found an amazing building. Look at it. It's on the top of this hill near a castle. And then I read through the description and it had no electricity and no water.
It's a bit too unplugged.
But it was funny also that we Airbnb'd this place and it was really cheap. It was like €4 a day or something for a whole villa.
That's crazy.
And when we got there, we just gutted his house and turned it into a recording studio. And he'd come back like halfway through, like surprised. And he was like, what's going on here? And we're like, sorry, we're recording an album. And he was like, cool.
Good.
And he was like an old teacher. He was like 55 and he was like, oh, I have something. And he dug out some weed that he had from like 20 years ago. He was like, let's smoke a joint.
Some vintage weed?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. It's crazy too. So you did have some crazy experiences while making the record, I suppose. And it must have been a great time. Did you find a favorite place to work at, maybe for LP number 4? Are you going to go back to that villa maybe? Or will you... I think be recording like, another album traveling.
Ghana was like game changing. Uh-huh. Ghana's like the coolest place in the world.
Uh-huh. So much music in the air and the people around you. It's incredible. You go to like a football match and watch a football game, and then the whole crowd is just better on every instrument than you will ever be.
Okay, cool.
Just like 5-year-old kids.
We played this bar, and they weren't used to like people playing songs for 3 minutes because their song's gone for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, then some rappers come up and out, and we were just playing, like being the backing bands, and like, yeah, it was, just, and we just best spend all our time in like the slums playing football with the kids and stuff, and it was just like,
I mean, come home. And that's something that I totally respect when I look at the itineraries that your band has in the last years. I mean, you guys, you're not afraid to go anywhere, right? You'll play the remotest place in the world just because they invite you. You'll go there.
We have been warned sometimes. They're like, please don't go off on your own. Yeah. And then we go off on our own.
Venezuela was like, we were guarded. And then as soon as we got out to the airport, we walked out and they were like, do not walk away from us. Like, you will get kidnapped.
Need a cigarette, man, please.
and will you probably channel those experiences into an artwork of some kind? Will there be, I mean, this is material for a movie or a documentary or maybe a novel or something as well, right?
So that's why we really wanted to work with the Globe for the graphics. That's why we have like the vinyls. When you stack them all together, it makes the Globe. We should work one in for you, but
yeah, we'll have one as soon as it's done. That's cool, but I really think it's a super interesting thing that what you're doing right now.
And I think for us as well, like with a new album, if we're going to do the next record in general in its entirety, I think it's always going to be based around something which is trying to go against what's kind of conventional, I think.
When you started making music, you were surrounded by visual arts and you were part of the South London gallery scene. You were at art school as well. Now, how did these first experiences shape the band? And would the newest record be the newest record without that in the past? Because I think when I talk to musicians who were in art school, I always realize that they have a different perspective on things. They're putting up mood boards on Tumblr for their music or something. What a normal musician wouldn't do. They'd be like, why should I put up pictures? I just want to make, you know what I'm saying?
They're
combining things.
Well, that's how the band started. We actually had a squat in South London that we made into an art gallery.
Yeah.
And every month we would have a show some artists from around the world, like Canadian artists and Swedish artists and stuff. And at the end of the show, because we got good sponsorship of lots of bottles of vodka and beer and stuff, we just would play some music at the end and party. And then we started getting asked to play other places and stuff. And that's how basically the band started.
Yeah. So it had an influence on you guys. It has influenced the new record, kind of.
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
100% with, I think coming from those backgrounds as well, when you're sat in London in the winter in a basement, all you want to do is be in the South Pacific or somewhere. So that's why we started writing songs as kind of an escapist kind of theme. Yeah. And then we would go off and fulfill those things.
Yeah, that's another thing that I love about your band. It's like mission accomplished, man. You started the band to escape London and now you're traveling the world. You're recording an album all over the world. I mean, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, we wrote the song Berlin before we played Berlin. And then we did this EP that had Venezuela, Mexico, Oi, Peru, and
Colombia, Colombia.
Yeah. Maria's Colombia. And then after we released that EP, then we got to play those countries.
I see.
So wherever we want a holiday next, we're just writing a song for
I mean, send your wishes to the universe, it might answer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So tonight's show, are you going to present some of the newer unreleased songs already?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, we got like, I think we're playing six or seven new ones.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's mostly new stuff with some old hits.
And the old school hits too.
And also we bought some very good friends called Many Things that are playing before us.
Okay, cool.
They've been on tour with us for the last 2 weeks and they are next level. They're so good.
So cool. People can have fun at Privatclub tonight. Dort auf der Bühne. Die Band ist Tropical aus England mittlerweile durch die Sängerin Kirsty zum Quartett herangewachsen. Um 20 Uhr geht's los und wer der sich den Eintritt sparen möchte für den Privatclub, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Und wer durchkommt, der steht auf der Gästeliste für die sehr sympathische Band Is Tropical heute Abend im Privatclub. Thanks again, boys, for visiting us.
Thank you very much, man.
And I hope we'll meet each other again because there's so many other things that I could talk to you about.
Yeah, yeah. We'll come bring you a vinyl.
Yeah, oh, that would be so nice. Thank you for chatting with us.
And thank you very much.
Best of luck for tonight's show and for the future plans that you're having.
Holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.